Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you would like to discuss, like to talk about it, give us a call right now. 844-322-2742. Lines available right now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We talked yesterday about the fact that we are no longer under the law, but under grace. So the moment we come to Christ, a change occurs.
Yes.
You know, there's certainly a change inside of us, but there's also a change as far as kind of our way of life, what rules us, what directs us down a path. So when we were lost and dead in sin, we were under the guardianship of the law. We were held prisoners by the law. But now through faith in Jesus Christ, that has changed. The law has stepped aside and has given way to Jesus Christ. So we are now under the grace of God. We are under Jesus Christ. He leads us and guides us from within through His Holy Spirit. So that is a huge, huge change. So we ask the question, and many people ask Paul the question, so if that's true, we're no longer under the law but under grace, well, what then was the purpose of the law? What role did it play in our lives? And we know first and foremost that the law was given to the nation of Israel. That Mosaic covenant was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. So it was very limited in scope as far as who was under that Mosaic covenant. It was the nation of Israel. Now, all of us were under the universal law of sin and death.
Yes.
We come into this world condemned, judged, because we have not believed in Jesus Christ. We were unbelievers, so we were judged by that universal law of sin and death. Now, we need to know that. And that was the purpose of the law for us, to show us our condition apart from Christ Jesus. A number of years ago, well, not too many years ago, my mom had to go into the hospital for a series of tests. She went and had an angiogram. And as soon as the angiogram showed the results, they wheeled my mom into an operating room to do a bypass heart surgery. And that's what saved her life. But they would have never known the problem apart from the angiogram.
Correct.
And that's basically the purpose of the law, to show us our real problem. The law can't cure us. The law can't fix us. The law can't change us. Just like an angiogram or an MRI or an X-ray, those things don't have the capacity or power to bring about healing in a human being. That only is used as a diagnostic tool to show the real problem. Once the problem is identified, then a physician and medicines and all those sorts of things come into play, and those are the things that can bring about healing within the body. So the law can't fix us. The law can't cure us. The law can't make us holy. The law can't give us life. It was never designed by God to do those things. It was simply designed to show us our need for Christ. And once the law has done its work and we are now in the hands of Christ Jesus, we are no longer under the law. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might just be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, or we are no longer under the law. Why? Because the law has done its purpose. It's fulfilled its role as far as God is concerned, as far as the way God designed it to function. Now we've been given over to Jesus, and He's a much better guide, a much better person to trust and adhere to and rely upon as far as the Christian life is concerned. Why? Because He is the Christian life. So this sounds like, you know, some deep theology, and it is, but it's theology that has practical implications. Mm-hmm. And Richard, this is something that is near and dear to your heart. Kind of walk us through some of the practical implications of knowing that we're no longer under the law, but under grace. What happened in your life?
Well, the first thing that happened when I finally learned this is the guilt began to go away. When you're worshiping the law instead of worshiping Jesus, all you've got is failure to look at. And the failure causes you to look deeper and deeper and deeper inside yourself, and it gets uglier and darker the deeper you go. When you come away from the law and allow Jesus to do what only he can do, then this stuff begins to go away. I mean, some people it happens instantly, some people it takes a little bit longer, but still the process that Jesus is going to take you through with the indwelling spirit removes the guilt, removes the shame, removes the impetus even. It changes your motives. It changes everything about your life, because Paul was not kidding. If you want to be under law, sin will be your master in verse 14 of chapter 6. That is the absolute truth. If you want to be free, then you have to go to Jesus. And it's strange, because one of the things I used to fight was I didn't want to be anybody's slave. Oh, I'm not a slave of sin, and I'm not a slave of Jesus either. I'm my own man. And, you know, that was just silly.
Yes.
it was just silly. And the freedom comes from being a slave of Jesus Christ. So if you want to see victory in your life, if you want to see forward progress, if you want to see character growth, all of the things that humans long for, they're only available in Jesus. They can never be available in the law, because the law can only say, nope, you missed it again. Nope, you missed it again. And you get tired of hearing that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, let's talk more about that after we have this announcement, because it's really important, practical stuff. We want to talk about how the law keeps us under the control of sin. How does that work itself out practically? And once we understand that, then we'll really rejoice in the fact that we have been released from the law and are now free to be joined to another, and that another is the person of Jesus Christ.
We would love for you to come in and be a part of the conversation today at 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. You know, Basic Gospel is putting into play quite a number of options for you to take advantage of to disseminate the gospel and bring the good news into your home and your life. If YouTube happens to be your go-to resource to learn how to do or fix just about anything, as it is mine, well, why not use YouTube as a go-to resource to learn how to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Basic Gospel is producing powerful videos these days to help you do just exactly that. And all you need to do to access them is subscribe to the Basic Gospel channel at YouTube.com. Again, that's YouTube.com/Basic Gospel. Again, YouTube.com/Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are going to go to our phone lines in just a minute, but I want to finish this thought about how the law kind of stirred up sin. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. It says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, and when he uses that phraseology, he is really talking about a lost person.
Yes.
So a person that is lost, a person who is dead spiritually, is a person who is in the realm of the flesh. And it says, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. So the law is very specific in what it says.
Yes.
It says, do not lie, or do not speak falsehoods. So those sinful passions, those sinful desires to speak falsehoods are in us. And so when the law says, don't speak falsehoods, that sinful passion attaches itself to that and says, hey, I want to speak falsehoods. And you find yourself doing that. It says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't covet your neighbor's things. And as soon as you hear don't covet your neighbor's things, you start asking yourself, well, what things?
Yeah.
And then you start looking at your neighbor's things, and it's like, well, they have a bigger house than I do. They have a bigger car. And you find yourself lusting internally for those things. Well, the law didn't put those in you.
No,
those sinful passions were already there. It just stirs them up. It stirs that pot up so that those are the things that you want to do. And as a result, you bore fruit for death. So that's what the law was designed to do. to show us our need. So we would come to the point and say, there is no hope under the law, that we have no reason to believe that we can be saved through human effort. Why? Because I can't stop from sinning. When the law says, don't do this, I can't stop from doing it. So I need to be released from that. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He fulfilled the law on our behalf so that we could be joined to him, yes. So that we could allow his life to control us and to lead us and to bear fruit inside of us that no law can speak against. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. The law can't produce those. That's the fruit of the life of Christ in us. So as we learn to trust him, we see that we aren't fulfilling the desires of the flesh, but we are actually living out the desires of the Spirit and expressing his fruit to others. And that's why this is so vitally important, to know that we as believers are not under law, but under grace.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you.
Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Joseph, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, hello.
Welcome to Basic Gospel, my friend. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just tuned in because, I found the radio station today, and I heard y'all talking. And, I'm always thinking about, when I'm reading the Bible, about the law. And, I was just wondering to know what you guys thought about, because I am aware that we're free from the law. We're free from the penalty of death that comes because of the law. But, there's also a lot of things like where Paul talks about, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And, about how there seems to be some kind of duty to, even though we are free from the law and we have grace, but there is still some, reason to keep, God's commandments and to, try our best to, with the Spirit to, as we come to him to, try to live according to the law to at least some extent. And so I wanted to know what y'all thought about that.
Well, Joseph, I think the New Testament is pretty clear, and really the entire Bible is pretty clear, that the life that God has called us to is a life of faith. So we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We're to live in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. So as we are trusting Jesus, as we are living by faith in Jesus, walking by the Spirit, as Paul called it, then we won't have to worry about the byproducts, because Jesus isn't going to lead us to sin. Jesus is going to lead us down the paths of righteousness. So as we walk by faith in Jesus, we're going to express that faith in love to others. So love, if you're loving your wife, you're certainly not out committing adultery on her, right?
Right, I agree, yeah.
Okay, so if you're loving your neighbor, you're not stealing from them. You're actually using your resources to meet their needs, to serve them, and to help them flourish as human beings. So if we will get our focus on Jesus, think about Jesus, then the reality of his love will become our reality as we deal with one another. As we just live in this world as children of God. And I'm saying that the fruit of that is better than trying to live up to those Ten Commandments. See what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I mean, I agree up to, the only thing that I, personally, when I read the New Testament, I just see that there's this, there's, Jesus says, anyone that takes away from these commandments, they'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven, and I came to fulfill the law, but not to do away with it. And so I just wonder, where's the balance between, what the New Testament says about that there is still a standard. I mean, God has a standard for us to,
The standard is not the law, Joseph. The standard is love. I mean, that's the standard. So 1 Corinthians 13 is really the standard. So God has called us to a higher law, the law of love, the law of faith, the law of hope. I mean,
I agree. I agree about the love is definitely one of the most important things. I was just wondering if I read these passages like in Romans 2, where it talks about it's not those who you know, it's not those who hear the laws, but it's the doers of the law that are considered, you know, righteous to God.
Let me ask you a question, Joseph. Who has been the only doer of the law that has ever lived?
Well, I mean, obviously Christ, you know, would be the only one that lived and kept the law properly.
So where does that leave the rest of us? Does that give us any hope? I mean, those words condemn us. We can't do the law through human effort. I can't live out.
I mean, as far as I understand, you know, it's you know, definitely it's the Spirit empowering us to keep the commandments, to have the ability to even, you know, want to do good. But I mean, I'm just wondering where, you know, if we're free from the law, and we don't have the law at all as a role in our lives, but it's just we have Christ. I mean, I agree that. You know, definitely.
Well, let me ask you something, Joseph. Is Christ better than the law?
Well, of course.
Well, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus is superior to the law, and that Jesus is more reliable in producing in and through us what the Word of God is talking about than the law is?
Well, I would say that the law is, I mean, Christ is the giver, but he's the Word, right? He's the Word made manifest, and the law would be, he would be the law. I mean, he would be the standard by which we'd be, you know, seeking to live and to follow what he wants to do. If we were to live and Jesus lived, and it isn't to say that, you know, Christ kept the law, he kept, you know, the commandments. And so, you know, I mean, there's a passage where Christ talks about
Here's how he kept it, Joseph, and he kept the law because he walked in dependence upon his Father. So time and time again throughout the gospel accounts, you will see, and particularly in the Gospel of John, you will see him saying, the Son can do nothing by himself. The Son only speaks what the Father tells him to speak. The Son only does what the Father tells him to do. So he lived in dependence upon his Father, and in essence, it was his Father living in and through him. And that's how that's how he fulfilled the law, by living in dependence on his Father and expressing that dependence on his Father in love to other human beings. So Jesus didn't wake up each and every day saying, I have to keep the Ten Commandments. He woke up each and every day saying, I have another day to live in dependence upon my Father, and I am going to trust him with the results of that dependency. And so it's the same with us. We have the opportunity each and every day to wake up and say, what a joy it is to have the opportunity to walk by faith in Jesus, and to watch him live his life in and through us. And as he lives his life in and through us, we can know with total, utter confidence that it's not going to be about lying or stealing or committing adultery or having anger in our hearts or any of those things. It's going to be about loving others as Christ has loved us. It's about being patient with people. It's about offering acts of kindness to people. It's about persevering with people. It's about hoping the best with people. It's about protecting people. That's what the love of God is all about. And as those things take place, people will look and say, hey, they're abiding by the law. Well, they're not trying to. But that's just the byproduct of living by faith in Jesus. And what they're actually seeing is something that supersedes the law, that trumps the law, and that's the love of God. So we can't do that on our own. We can't love apart from faith in Jesus Christ. He's the vine, we're the branch. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So this life is a life of faith in Jesus. He's the source. And as we trust him, we can count on the fact that what flows through us is going to be the best of things that God has provided for us in Jesus. That's why this is so vitally important. Nowhere in the Word of God does it advocate that now that we're under grace that we can just go out and lie and cheat and steal and all those sort of things. those are stuff that puts us in bondage. Those are the things that destroy, that kill, that rob us of the fullness of life that is ours in Christ. So when we walk by faith in Christ, we're not going to go in that direction. We're going to go in another direction. We're going to be lifted to a higher plane and be able to experience love. Love in our hearts for God and love for people. And that's what it's all about. You can look at all the laws, and as Jesus said, they're all reduced to two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that through human effort. You can't do that trying to be obedient to the law. You're going to become judgmental. Why? Because the law judges you. You're going to become condemning. Why? Because the law condemns you. So whatever you're relying upon as your means for righteousness, you're going to begin to speak the same language that thing speaks. So
I understand what you're saying, and I, for the most part, I agree as far as, you know, definitely faith is the key thing, but, you know, I feel like there's something missing, like, as far as, you know, you look at, like, Revelation chapter, I guess it'd be chapter 12, you know, the end of the chapter, it talks about, you know, they went off to make war with, you know, God's, the seed that, you know, keeps his commandments. They have faith in Christ, they have a testimony of Christ, and they keep his commandments. Why do we see so many?
Well, here's his commandments. Can I point you to one thing? A passage in 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 23, and John says, and the commands are this: to believe in Jesus and to love others. Those are the commands.
Is that 1 John?
1 John chapter 3. So,
and then isn't 1 John in the first and second chapter, it says that the old command is that we continue in what we first heard, the first thing we heard, which would be the, you know, the law and the prophets. We continue in that, and we continue in the Father and in the Son. I mean, doesn't it say that we have the law? Isn't the law there? I mean, I feel like the scriptures tell us the law is there for more than just, you know, to be thrown out. And so we, you know, we have a higher standard. Yeah, we have faith and we have someone who's fulfilled the law, but aren't we responsible as believers to
live, you know, by faith? That's our responsibility, is to live by faith, Joseph. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all things acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That is your responsibility, to walk by faith in Jesus. He has reduced it to one simple thing, and either you're going to walk by faith in him or you're not. To the people who said, hey, we're saved by grace, but it's up to us, Paul looked at them and said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Why do you think that you can be saved by the works of the Spirit and then perfect yourself through human effort? And that's the key. The law forces you to live through human effort. It's up to you to live up to those commandments. God has already fulfilled those on your behalf. Now, he said, walk by faith. That is the one thing that God has said for you to do. By grace, through faith in Jesus. So we're balancing the grace of God with faith in Jesus, and that's the recipe for a life characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I guarantee you, if you start asking the Lord every day, teach me what it means to walk by faith, you will see incredible things flowing through you and into the lives of others. That's why it's so important to get this, because it is by grace through faith. That's the life we've been called to live. Well, Joseph, thanks for your question. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a book, and I think it will want you to read it and then call us back, okay? You hang on.
Thanks, Joseph. Lively conversation. We appreciate hearing from you. For many of us, YouTube has become the one-stop shop to find out how to do stuff. And we've decided that it's a great way to disseminate the gospel message as well, From Basic Gospel, as a matter of fact. And you can find some powerful videos that we've produced there on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. And you can find them when you visit youtube.com/basicgospel. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.